ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुम् पादपद्मेतयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयामदेवाः, भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः, स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः यशेमदेवहितं यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः, स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः, स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनीमिः, स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः, हरिः ॐ। ॐ ओ गॉड्स, मे वी ऑलवेज हियर विथ अवर इयर्स व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। ओ वर्शिपफुल वंस, मे वी विथ अवर आईज ऑलवेज सी व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। May we live our allotted life, hale and hearty, offering our praises unto Thee. May Indra of ancient fame bestow auspiciousness on all of us. May the all-nourishing portion be propitious to all of us. May Garuda, the destroyer of all evil, be well disposed towards all of us. May Brihaspati ensure all our welfare. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. For studying the 19th karika of the 3rd chapter of the Andukya karika. In this verse 18th, Gaudapada is asserting advaitam paramarthohi dvaitam tad bheda uchyate तेषां उभयथा द्वैतं तेनायं न विरुध्यते। गौड़पादा इज टॉकिंग अबाउट सम ऑफ द द्वैतिन्स, मोस्ट ऑफ द द्वैतिन्स, ऑल द द्वैतिन्स इन फैक्ट, दैट दे डू नॉट एक्सेप्ट अद्वैतिक व्यू। व्हाट डू दे से? दैट रियलिटी इज ऑलवेज डिवाइडेड। इट इज, that is why it is called dvaitam. So there are two types of dvaitins are there. Some people think that Brahman is always dvaitam only. He is never advaiti. Saguna Brahma, they don't accept nirguna Brahma at all. There are some peculiar type of people. They say Brahman is advaita, only one without a second, but he creates and he becomes many. So for most of us, we are in this condition. What is it? God created the world and he created me, and that is how I am called Jivatma. I come from God. I have to go back to God. Somehow the infinite has become finite. But if the finite goes to the infinite, it becomes again once more infinite. So I hope you got the point. Two types of dvaitins. For first dvaitin, everything is dvaita, including God. For the second type, originally it is advaita, then we come down, we become dvaita, and again through sadhana, we attain to that state of advaita. So keeping these two types of people in mind, Gaudapada is addressing what is paramartha, final truth, real truth, only truth, advaitam. And dvaitam tad bheda uchyate. So what is this dvaita then? So we experience only dvaita. I am different, you are different. I am not only different from everything else, but I am different from myself all the time. I was a baby, then I grew up, every day I am different. from what I was, even 1 millisecond earlier what I was. Okay, this is the our experiential point of view. We are all separate. But what about Bhagavan? Yes, yes, Parinamavada is there. So he also is different. He is Saguna Brahma. And Saguna means sometimes he is kind, sometimes he is not kind, sometimes he creates, sometimes he withdraws. It's very difficult to say what this Saguna Brahma is going to do. So for Dvaitins, everything is God also is Dvaitam. Universe, Srishti is also Dvaitam. But for the Advaitins, it looks as though this so-called Dvaitic experience is only a seeming experience. We have to keep in the mind, in the background, two views. One is really the Nirguna Brahma has become the universe. This is called Parinamavada. The famous example is milk has really become curds. But if you question, when once milk becomes curds, it never again remains as milk. It is permanently changed into curds. This is called Parinamavada. But the other view is, what about my experience? For that umpteen number of examples, famous is rope and snake. Really, is the snake born? So long as we perceive it, it is there. But when, as soon as light is brought up, immediately the snake disappears, and then we realize there was never any snake. Snake was never born, and whatever is not born cannot frighten me, etc. So this is the Advaitin's view, seemingly Dvaitam, not real Dvaitam. But Tesham, the opposite people who are arguing that we don't accept Advaita, we are all Dvaitins, for them, Saguna Brahma. Brahman is never Advaitin. But as I said, there are two views. Among them, yes, yes, our Brahman is Nirguna Brahma, but he really created this world also, some people believe. So, then following this argument, for Dvaitins, both Bhagavan also is Dvaita and Srishti is also Dvaita. Srishti is Dvaita is very easily experienced. We see everything as separate from each other. What about Bhagavan? Yes, yes, he will be in different moods. So what are those modes? Two types of modes. So if he is considered as not creating, he is called Brahman, as Sri Ramakrishna says. But when I see that he is creating, etc., active, etc., Sri Ramakrishna gives the analogy of a snake. Whether a snake is just lying down or it is wriggling, it is the same snake. But in one avatara aspect, it is not doing anything. I call it Brahman. But when I see that it is doing something, then it is called Shakti. Shakti means movement. Shakti means Dvaitam. So if we get any doubt, but really does God has two aspects, Nirguna and Saguna? The final answer is no. It is because of my perception. When my mind is in one state, that is complete identity with Brahman. I don't see any activity. I do not exist. Even I cannot say I am seeing Brahman. But when I am working through the mind, perceiving through the mind, and the mind's nature is time, space and causation, then everything is Dvaitam only. So that's why this is Advaitin's viewpoint about God. Nothing can be told. Everything has become polluted by being described, excepting Brahman. That's what Sri Ramakrishna's famous saying to Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. Brahman alone remains unpolluted because Brahman is beyond both mind, speech, much less any activity. So the point we have to understand, easy way, that when my mind is working, I can only think about Saguna Brahma, not Nirguna Brahma. But when I get out of the mind, there is no I, there is no Brahman, whatever exists is one. And this simple truth, though simple, it is complicated. Gaudapadacharya is telling, what is the real truth? Advaitam. So, what is Gaudapada telling? Real truth. Something is real truth, something is unreal truth. From which point of view? Only from the mind's point of view. So, what about, I see innumerable things and they must have origin. That origin cannot be accepting Brahman, and therefore, he must be what is called the origin, the cause. And Gaudapada says, just like a rope has never produced the snake, and we cannot produce a snake, there is no snake at all. But as long as I, because of my ignorance, perceive something called the snake, it must have an origin. So the rope has become the snake, etc. Really no. Dvaitam tad bheda uchyate. When we see advaitam through the prism of the mind, that is called dvaitam. It's not real. Is my perception. That is an important point. But there are some dvaitins. Ubhayadha tesham dvaitam. God also is saguna. And this srishti is also dvaitam. That is called ubhayadha, means both. Both God as well as srishti, both are dvaitam. But whatever people may think, tena I am, na viruddhyate. Advaitam can never be negated. We have no quarrel. What is the problem? The problem is people go on perceiving reality. What is the problem? If they believe in what they see and mind their own business, progress in their own way, no problem. But the moment they start asserting that my religion is true, my view is true, everybody's view is wrong, my watch alone is right, everybody's watch is wrong, that is where the problem will come. With this background, verse number 9 is there. It is more or less repetition, but slight emphasis is there. Mayaya bhidyate etat na anyatha ajam kathanchana tatvato bhidyamanehi martyatam amrutam rajet. So, beautiful logic is now employed by Gaudapada. And we can understand this logic much easier than the ascertainment that Brahman is Advaitam and nothing is really born. Very hard for us to understand. So, if you say, oh Gaudapada, everything is what is called really Advaitam, then what is it that I experience? No, Brahman has not become the Srishti, but it appears to be Srishti, appearance, seeming creation. That is what he wants. Mayaya, because of Maya. And where is this Maya? In my mind. The Maya works in my mind. Just as the maker create a dream and then I divide myself as it were. When I come out of the dream, I have not created anything, and whatever I thought was real is not real at all. No change has taken place. I remain as the waker. That is every one of our experience. So, mayaya, because of the perception through the prism of the mind, vidyate. So, the dvaita. Vidyate means it's different things. Dvaitam is seen. Na anyatha. Kaja ajam katanchana. Ajam means Brahman or Jivatma. Brahman has never become Jivatma. Jivatma is never born. It is impossible. Katanchana is impossible. And he gives a beautiful logic in future Karika's verses, and very easy for us to understand. So, Maya is the only reason why we perceive this duality. But when we perceive the duality, it doesn't mean it is real. So many examples are there. We see something shining like a silver. So we may mistake it is a silver, but that's not silver. And we go near, our mistake will be corrected. There is no silver. It is only appearing like. We see great body of water in desert land. There is no water, not a single drop. The sand will not become wet at all. We see that a house is burning on the cinema screen, but nothing happens to the screen. Everything is a play of the light. So many examples are given. So because of Maya, that is because of our problem, our mind, our ignorance, we perceive and attribute it to Brahman. That real change is taking place in Brahman. No, it is not. So, Brahman cannot be born. Born means can never be changed. Ajam means change. And we know there are sixfold changes. So, Jayate, Asti, Vardhate, Viparinamate, Apakshayate, Vinashyati. Sixfold, Shad Urme. So, conceived, born, growing, old age, disease, death. We see it. This is all the sixfold change. Birth means change. Brahmani can never be born. Ajam kathanchana na. It is impossible for Brahman, that is for the infinite, to become finite. Instead of saying birth, if we use the word, the infinite might become finite. Easier to understand. Infinite can never become finite. So there is a small instrument called kaleidoscope. You look at it, every millisecond, the moment you change the position, so various, the one light appears to be a combination of millions of colors. Combination of colors. But if you remove that instrument from the eye, then you will see that it is the same light, nothing happens. Let the sunlight pass through a prism. Seven colors we can see. In fact, all the colors that we see are really that there are no colors. But every single day, single second, we are experiencing these colors. So, it is not true that infinite can ever become finite. But supposing, this here the reasoning comes. Tatvataha vidyamanehi. Suppose really Brahman has become this creation. The infinite becomes finite. The nirguna becomes saguna. Then what happens? Amrutam, that which is immortal. Immortal means changeless. Changeless means infinite. Infinite means eternal. Martyatam rajait. It becomes finite. Finite becomes change. Remember, martyata means mortality. Mortality means change. Change means what we call death. Just as birth is a change, death also is change. But this Mahamaya makes us think, when some baby is born, everybody laughs joyfully. But when the same baby dies, or a grown-up dies, it brings tears. Why? Because from birth onwards, we can see until death, everything is experienceable to our five sense organs. But once death happens, something inside the man goes and the body becomes decomposes, rotten, becomes useless. So, oh my friend, the infinite can never become finite. Supposing you say that the infinite can become finite, then what happens? Amrita becomes mrita. Immortal becomes mortal. And this is irrational. It is not possible. So why? So many dualists believe that there was one Brahman and he is called Brahman, Paramatma or Ishvara, whatever it is. And then we have become, we are all coming from there. I have become a Jivatma, you have become a Jivatma. I am in samsara, so I am called samsari. You are a samsari. So, all Jivatmas came from Brahman and they got separated from Brahman. And now, Jiva is going through various problems and he is seeking desperately how to get rid of these problems. So, what should the Jiva do now? He heard from the scriptures that if he becomes, if he rejoins Paramatma, then he will be free from all problems. He becomes Sat, he becomes Chit, he becomes Ananda Swarupa. This is the contention. And even though we are studying Mandukya Karika, actually this is our position now. So I am a Jiva, I am 1,000 times convinced I am a Jiva, I am never Paramatma. Yes, a little bit of Paramatma's divinity is in me, there is no doubt. But there is an infinite, almost infinite difference is there, distance is there from him and me. I am weak and he is strong. I don't have many things, he has many things, and I know very little, and he knows everything, etc. So what should you do? You go and get some sad guru, sit at his feet, and get some sad upadesham. Yes, you are a Jivatma. God is very, very gracious. If you pray and surrender to him, he will remove your sadness. And a person who says you are a sad, samsari means some sorry, but a sad guru will becomes a sadguru when he shows you a way out of it. So Jivatma, he practices spiritual life. Gradually he progresses and one day he joins Paramatma. He comes to know Aham Brahmasmi and then he goes on dancing. I don't know how he is going dancing. Where does he get a space? Where does he get a time? Because Brahman means beyond time, beyond space. That means he cannot get some wag. He's wagging his mouth. He said there are certain things God cannot do. What? God cannot do certain things? Yes, he cannot do. First of all, I can go on a holiday. He can't go on a holiday because he is everywhere. Secondly, suppose God gets angry with me and says, I don't want to see your face. Let him try. Because he who is everywhere cannot avoid seeing my beautiful face. So, some limitations are there. Our view is, we are limited through spiritual practice. We finally join the unlimited, like a drop of water falling into the ocean. Then I become one ocean. Before that, I was really a drop. Now I dropped that drop and I became the ocean. This is the idea. This is what Gaudapada is struggling to tell. If perchance Brahman has become Jivatma, then what happens? The immortal becomes mortal, the infinite becomes finite, the Paramananda becomes Alpananda, and that is not acceptable at all. So this is what Advaita Vedanta says, that there was no Jivatma. To think that there is a Jivatma is a mistaken notion. There is no real Srishti. There is only seeming Srishti, and that is what is called Vivartavada. Therefore, this separation between Jivatma and Brahman is only a notion, a seeming separation. But actually, nothing has happened. No separation has ever taken place. But if you think the separation is actually happened, then what happens? It upsets a fundamental law. That is, one loses its true nature. And why do we think that we are separate from Brahman? Because of Maya Shakti. That is why the example, the analogy of dream is very important. So, according to Advaita, there is no Srishti, there is no Prapancha, there is no jiva. It is all seeming only. So, that is what Gaudapada is going to elaborate a little bit further. And he uses beautiful logic in Karika number 20. Ajatasyaiva bhavasya jatim icchanti vadinaha. Ajato hi amruto bhavo martyatam katham eshyati ? If you are reading the Sanskrit, at the end, if there is an exclamation mark, you have to forget about it. So you have to say, it is a question mark. What does it mean? The who are called vadis. Vadi means opposite parties, the dualists. So Advaitin stands alone, and whoever is opposing him is called Dvaitin. And whoever is opposing Dvaitin is called Advaitin. These dualists, Dvaitins, they contend. Contend means not merely arguing. They firmly believe in it. And that's why they say that where does God live? In Vaikuntha. So we will go to Vaikuntha. If you do certain things which God commanded us to do, we will be going to Him. And slowly there also, Vaikuntha also, four stages are there. First is Salokya. We enter into the same world. Somehow we got a visa permit and enter into Vaikuntha Loka. And then a long distance is there. So slowly, slowly we are approaching. There also, I am guessing, there will be terrible traffic jam. So many devotees eating Tirupati laddus must have reached earlier. Because Tirupati laddu definitely will take him to Vaikuntha sooner than expected. So they are jostling with each other to get near. Somehow this person pushes everybody aside and goes near. This is called Samipya. And after some time, he goes on seeing the Divine Lord. He doesn't see anything else. And he sees, he hears, he meditates slowly, like an insect becoming a bee. Slowly this person, his form is changed. I am also like same form, like Bhagavan. This is called Sarupya. And this is only a very near stage. But there is another stage, still separation is there. Then he goes nearer. And this is called Sayujya. Permanently he will be there with God. But like Advaitins, like a drop of water mixing with water, he doesn't mix like that. It will be like oil and water. A small drop of oil in a vast ocean, but they become very friendly. And he will be going on enjoying the Divine Lord. This is more or less how Advaitin tries to ridicule the Vaishnavas, Dvaitin's idea of mukti, moksha. Even Sayujya, there is a separation. There is real separation according to Dvaita Adi. But according to Ramanuja, it is you become a small part of the whole. You are the whole. That is what is Deha Buddhya Dasaha, Jiva Buddhya Tvadamshakaha, Atma Buddhya Tvameva. So Vadinaha, the disputants contend that ever unborn changeless entity or Atman or Brahman undergoes a change. Now Gaudapada poses a question. How could an entity whose nature is changeless and immortal partake of the nature of the mortal? Mortal means what? It has changed its nature. Secondly, that which is immortal has now become mortal. So, become a subject of time and space. Ajataha hi amrutaha bhavaha martyataam kathameshyati is asking. Martyataam means mortality. Ajataha, that which can never be born, is never born. And whose nature is amrutaha, bhavaha, immortality. Whose nature is of immortality. Katham martyata meshati. How can it become mortal? How can it change? That is to say, it is not possible. This is, he wants to fortify this argument. How? We are going to see it. So what is this? How can the unborn, immortal reality, indeed undergo mortality? There are various theological and philosophical systems which look upon the Paramatma as a person in some other loka, because person means there must be, he must be residing somewhere, and that is why they call it Vaikuntha. So the goal is to go to Vaikuntha or kingdom of heaven, etc. How can one undivided Paramatma at all get divided into the form of infinite number of jivas and jagat? Very interesting point is, if Bhagavan is infinite, then Srishti also must be infinite. And in Srishti we get creatures with life, living and non-living. So both are infinite. Living creatures are also infinite, and non-living created things are also infinite. Earlier we have seen what is called Ghatakasha and Mahakasha. As if with the birth of the pot, pot space is born. Really, pot space is neither born nor does it get destroyed. It is only from the viewpoint of the pot that we think something is born and something is gone. So that is the point. No, Paramatma can never become Jivatma. So, this is a very important verse for all of us. What is the Gaudapada's argument? We can imagine. The essential nature of a thing can never be lost. Will never be lost. Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful example. Supposing there is fire. What is the nature of the fire? Heat and light. So, you say fire is there, but thanda ho gaya. We say thanda ho gaya. What does it mean? It means the manifestation of fire because of some firewood, etc. That firewood is consumed. The fire is not seen. But that is not changing the fire. Not only that, even if you accept the view, sparks of fire. There are some people whose imagination goes awry. And they say, fire and its sparks, Agni and Vispulingas. There are some people who think manifestation of the fire, but one thing is there, even a spark exactly is having the same nature, but the spark is because of the material through which fire is manifesting. It is nothing but fire. There is nothing called small fire, big fire, hot fire. No, we always say, we every day we are using, we control the temperature of your cooking gas by reducing the gas. So if it is very small, then the heat is less. If you increase the flow of gas, it will be more hot. Similarly, you go on putting a water, water becomes very hot. So water can be cold, water becomes hot. Again, it becomes cold because the heat is not the intrinsic nature of water. It is only borrowed thing. Whatever is borrowed is going to disappear. So, as soon as you remove the fire, the water becomes its natural temperature. Does it become cold? Even to say water is cold is not acceptable. Water is hot, not acceptable. Water is water. But if it is very cold, it takes the shape of ice. If it is very hot, it changes its shape into vapor. These are the three states of water. But the essential nature of the water is never changed. What is this change? Due to circumstances, heat and cold. But the nature of the water cannot be changed. The whiteness of milk cannot be separated. So the heat and light nature of the fire can never be separated. The sun's light can never be separated from the sun. This is our logic. So what is essential nature? Very important. We discussed it many times. I also explained many times. Whatever cannot be taken away from a thing, whatever remains constantly, eternally as the nature of a thing, that is called its essential nature. What is the essential nature of fire? Heat and light. What is the essential nature of water? Wetness. So, what is the nature of sun's rays? Light and heat also, of course. So, you can never separate, you can cut it, you cannot cut it, you cannot change it, you cannot take it away. What is the nature of a sweet? To be sweet. If you take away that sweetness from a sweet, then it is like taking away the change. Then do you call it sweet? No, you cannot call it sweet. Not that the sweet has ever lost. This, the moment you take it sweetness, you cannot call it sweet. You have to call it either salty or sourish, whatever it is named. That means we are not talking about sweet. We are talking about something else. So, what is the point? Essential nature is that without which a thing cannot be what it is. You take away the wood from the furniture, then it cannot be furniture. Take away the goldness from ornament, it cannot be the ornament. Take away the clay from the pot cannot remain. But so long as the pot is there, clayness will be there. So long as there is an ornament, goldness will be there. So long as there is furniture, woodness will be there. So, what is the point? Essential nature is that without which a thing cannot be called by its name. I hope this point is very clear. So, the Upanishads are going to teach. What are they going to teach? All Upanishads teach only one thing. What is the nature of the Atman, Brahman? Is it called Jivatma? Is it called Paramatma? So, the Upanishads teach that the intrinsic nature of the Atman is what? It is eternal, it is infinite, and it is immortal. So, that is its nature. Can you change it? No, it cannot be changed. So, what is this Jivatma? Jivatma, you have given the name Jivatma to that Paramatma. When you are looking at that Paramatma through the prism of this body and mind. You are talking about the body-mind actually. You are not talking about the Paramatma. So thus the immortal cannot become mortal. Not only that, the opposite is also true. If the nature of anything created is mortal, and it is mortal, mortal means continuously changing, at some point we hope the eternally changeable nature of mortality can be changed into non-changing immortality. That is also not possible. So either way, it is impossible. So the body and mind can never become immortal. The Atman can never become the mortal. Naturally, the question comes, if this is true, then what is it we are attending this class? Why are you attending the class? Ultimately, to understand, I need not have attended, I should not attend. There was no necessity. Remember the story? A man thought he has lost his specs. He ran 3 miles at night, knocked at the door of his friend, and the friend asked him, "What brings you at night?" He said, "I lost my specs." Then the friend laughed and said, "If you, this fellow cannot see anything without specs." Such was his myopia. Myopia means myopia. So he cannot see anything. So the friend asked, "How could you run? How could you see the path?" "Yes, I saw crystal clearly." "How could you see?" "Oh, all the time the specs are on my head." So he thanks and goes back. Now, this is a story, analogy. After that, the real question comes. Was it necessary for the person to run 3 miles at night, the usual pat answer is no, because he has not lost anything. But the running is necessary to know that running is not necessary. The running is necessary to know running was unnecessary. When does the person comes to know that running was unnecessary? Only after the running is done. When do we come to know that sadhana is unnecessary? After doing sadhana only. So, what shall we do? He says, now, this is what Advaita is teaching. Your experience is you are a jiva. The scriptures tell, yes, yes, you are a jiva. No doubt about it. We confirm by you do this, then you will become Atman by doing spiritual, by doing something. That something is called sadhana. That is what he says. Remember the story of Sri Ramakrishna, this one. There was a farmer and he was an Advaitin. Remember, he was an Advaitin, not a Dvaitin. And he believed the whole world is mithya, appearance only. So he had only one son. And that son died. When his wife questioned him, he replied, yesterday night I dreamt that I was a king. I had 7 beautiful princesses. The story doesn't tell us. This farmer, being very wise man, did not address his wife and said, there is absolutely no comparison between my queen and yourself. I had 7 beautiful princesses. And they were so talented, so beautiful, unlike this monkey-faced one fellow. And when we woke up, and they all are completely dead, I lost all of them. And it is true. So long as we are in the dream, we can't call it dream. We only call it waking state. So whatever we lose in the waking state, we call it loss. Therefore, only when we come to the waking state, we accept the fact we have not lost anything. It was my imagination. But Gaudapada teaches us a great valuable lesson. What is that lesson? The lesson is, it is true, but the reverse also is true. Whatever we think is real in the waking state becomes like a dream, unreality, so long as we are in the dream. When we wake up, dream is unreal. When we are in the dream, waking state is unreal. That is a very important point in case you are not grasped. So, we know the incident. One devotee called Manimalik comes. He lost his son. Sri Ramakrishna suddenly sings a song. Jeev Sajo Shamare. Death has surrounded you. So, so long as we think, we have to surrender and we have to recognize the fact of birth, growth. Just as we accept happily birth and growth, we also have to accept happily what is called youth, and there is no controversy there. But after that controversy comes, we don't accept middle age. Somehow grumblingly we accept. Then old age much less and death even much less. But we have to know that if as a child I died, as an adolescent I died, as a youth I died, as a middle class, middle aged person I died, and this old age person also definitely will die. And the fun is, even a 100 years old person says, I know death will come, but not now. Not now is the problem. So, Gaudapada proceeds there. He says, something whose nature is essential nature, that essential nature can never be separated from a thing. A thing is what it is because of that essential nature, and nobody can change it. Even God cannot change. That's why, can God kill me? No, he cannot kill me. What can he kill? What is killable? He can kill. What is killable? My body is killable. My mind is killable. My stupid ideas are killable. And all those things, any idea, that even the idea of Advaita is killable also. Though all those things he can kill, but not really me. Me means Atma. That is why you see in the Puranas an Ugra Narasimha, God in the form of ferocious lion man, comes and kills so-called Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu. What did he, what does the Purana say? A jyoti came and merged in Bhagavan Narasimha, indicating that the so-called Ajnana has become Jnana and the realization came, I am Brahma. That's what he says. In the 21st verse, what is telling? Na bhavati amrutam martyam, na martyam amrutam tatha, prakrutehi anyata bhavo, na kathanchit bhavishyati. This is the logic Gaudapada is striving to put it into our minds all the time. Amrutam, immortality, martyam na bhavati, cannot become mortal. Nor martyam amrutam tatha. What is mortal can never become immortal. And what is the conclusion? Prakrutehi anyatha bhavaha. Prakruti means essential nature of anything. So, anyatha bhavaha means deviating from its essential nature. Katham chit abhavishyati. Whatever we do, it is not possible to do it. That means Paramatma has never become Jivatma. Jivatma cannot also become Paramatma. Then what happens? Our idea that I am a Jiva, remember, our idea, our thought, our chitta vritti, I am a Jiva, I am limited, I am bound, I am a samsari, is a vritti, a thought. Similarly, naturally, the idea comes. So is it possible for me to get out of this, what is called unhappiness, limitation? Very interesting point is, if somebody is very happy, and because of this limitation, would he like to get rid of limitation? What am I talking about? Suppose somebody's body is very healthy. Body is a limitation, but he is very healthy. He can eat nicely. He can enjoy, digest, and he can defeat anybody. He is very strong. He has got very beautiful wife. A lady has got beautiful, rich husband. I don't know whether women like rich husbands or beautiful husbands. If there is a competition between beauty and richness, I leave it to you to think about it. You are quite capable of thinking about it. Man's view is different. Woman's view is different. So, the world will never become immortal. That means Jivatma is never going to become immortal. And Brahman has never become Jivatma. It is impossible for Brahman to become mortal. It is impossible for Jiva to become immortal. Oh, all this time we thought by hearing, attending your classes, we will attain moksha. But now after so much of torture, you are telling that it is impossible for us as Jivas to get moksha. No, no. What I mean is, you are always immortal. You thought you were not immortal. Through sadhana, you come to know that I was never mortal. I thought I was mortal. But now I know the sadhana is not to become immortal, being mortal. The sadhana is to remove the wrong notion that I thought I am mortal and through sadhana I will become immortal. It is this important point that I want to do sadhana because I am a happy person, but I am thinking I am an unhappy person, like in a dream. Somebody is dragging me and beating me black and blue, etc. But when I wake up, what do? I simply get out of that thought. That thought comes to an end that I was very unhappy. Now I find no change has taken place. Nobody has taken me anywhere. Same thing happens when a person has God realization I was God, I am God, I will be God. Now or has I become, have I become anything else other than being God? But the notion came, I was born. So that notion, wrong notion. So right notion disappeared, wrong notion has come. Wrong notion disappears, right notion comes. It is a change in thought and nothing else. And that is good enough for us. Because what is it we want? We don't want to be having death. We don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to be suffering. And to be mortal, to be all-knowing, and to be eternally happy, infinitely happy is my nature. Once I come to know, the purpose is served. Whether I go to Vaikuntha or whether I attain moksha by becoming, claiming that I am Brahman, the result is exactly the same. Then no, these quarrels are only quarrels between two types of thoughts, different types of thoughts, like our quarreling in the dream state. The reality is, it is not possible. Brahman has never become anything. He cannot become. And this srishti is only a notion, a thought. And how did it come? Books have been written about it. But that's not necessary for us. All that we need to know is that I was Brahman, I am Brahman, I will be Brahman. Somehow the notion came, I am not Brahman. And through sadhana, with the grace of Guru and God, I have gotten rid of that notion that I am not Brahman. But now I realize I was, I am, I will ever be Brahman. This is what Gaudapada wants to convey in this 21st. And I will stop here. Any questions are there, we'll deal with them. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapatne Tayo Saritva Pranamami Muhurmuhu. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.